So welcome to the next edition of the Rare Business Podcast. With me today, I have Joan Babinski of Brainshark. First of all, Joan, can you start off by telling us a little bit about yourself and also the work you do?
Absolutely. So I'm Joan Babinski, VP of Marketing at Brainshark, and I'm also one of the early founding employees of the company. And so I've been here for 15 years. And so we've grown dramatically over those years. And so what Brainshark does is provide cloud-based solutions, so software as a service, that help companies improve their productivity in many key areas, so across sales and marketing and training. So the products and solutions we provide help you to do a couple things. One is we have a product called Brainshark On Demand that helps you take static documents like PowerPoints and other types of files and turn that into very engaging on-demand video. Okay. And since the very beginning, we've made it really easy for the business, the average business person, to do that. So, you know, we realized that video is a great way to communicate, it's an engaging way to communicate, but until very recently, it really has been kind of difficult for the average business presenter to be able to create video. It often took special skills and time and, you know, lots of production. So we really democratized, essentially, the use of multimedia and video content within the enterprise.
Okay.
And then we also have products, so that's really for communicating on demand, trying to reach people at a time and place that's convenient for them. But we also have products for delivering presentations in person, particularly from mobile devices. So we have a line of business called SlideShark that helps business presenters present easily from any device, whether the audience, their audience is right across the table from them or across the globe, and reach people at the same time.
Okay. Now, the reason we got together or we got connected up was because I was really interested in how you started this groundswell of advocacy amongst your customers.
Mm-hmm.
And called the Brainshark Champion Program. So first of all, can you tell me why you did that?
Mm-hmm. Sure. So, you know, we were looking for a way to leverage a lot of the good feeling that we already had in our customer base. And, you know, because our product is really meant for the average business person, we have, you know, much more than, say, just one person at an organization. That, you know, some technologies may be sort of centered around, you know, just a few people, but we really have, you know, a lot of people at the customer organizations that we work with that are using our product every day, and it's impacting their daily work life because, say, for example, they can, you know, deliver more effective communication that's more convenient for both for them to deliver and to reach the people that they need to reach and for those people to experience their message. So it really sort of changed how people worked and enabled them to do things that not only make it easier to do the stuff they had to do every day, but also do things that they hadn't been able to do before because it's a great way to communicate. So, you know, we found we had a lot of users within organizations that, you know, if you ran into them at a cookout, they'd say, oh, my goodness, you know, you meet them, you work for Brainshark? I love Brainshark.
Right.
And this is how I use it. And so, you know, we knew we had a lot of that good feeling around these organizations. And we thought, gee, you know, how do we tap into that more? You know, be able to find those people who really like to, you know, say good things about our product and recommend our product. And they have, it's meaningful to them because it's impacted their work life. And how do we scale that and get and let their voice be heard and also in ways that are fulfilling to them as well and, you know, provide some level of reward, whether it's not necessarily monetary, but, you know, rewards and fulfillment in other ways and, you know, sort of have more of a two-way, a two-way street to, you know, help them help us in a way that then really have a more reciprocal relationship and help get the word out about Brainshark.
Okay. And so how did you do that? I mean, because that's always the thing. It seems to be it's a bit of a nirvana. It's trying to get people to talk about you, to refer you, to introduce you, to connect you, all of those different things.
Yeah.
And people are always going to say, that's brilliant, but how do you do that?
Yeah. Well, you know, I think underlying it all is that, you know, these champions have made an investment in us.
Right.
You know, so whether it's the person that actually signs the contract that's made that financial investment and their organization has made that investment, but, you know, that person has also made a professional investment in BrainShark and saying, hey, you know, we're going to use this technology to do these things. And so they want us to succeed and that, you know, in helping us improve our products or get the word to more people or share those successes, that also helps them. And it's, you know, validation for them. It's also, you know, it sort of helps them look good within their organization and that recognition. Mm-hmm. And also just a recognition for the work that they do every day that, you know, maybe even sometimes they're, you know, their peers don't always see, but, you know, that they, you know, can share, hey, here's a successful program that we did, you know, happen to use this technology and get the word out in that way. That also helps them look good. So that was sort of underlying it all. And when you say sort of, trying to get back to your original question, the how we started.
Yeah. Yes, it was. Where do you actually like start? I mean, is it just, do you just pick some random people or what do you do?
Good. Yeah. There's a few, you know, we sort of try to assess who our best advocates were, and they really are in a number of places and they interact with us in a number of ways. So, you know, with anyone getting started with this type of program, I'd urge you to, you know, that's sort of the beginning of the plan is looking at, you know, who are they and where are they? They might be those people, and initially you might think of, you know, those people that have actually purchased your product, the ones that signed the contract, but they're also the people that maybe have been influential in that decision. And they may be people that are, you know, already doing things with you today in a number of ways. So maybe they're all already contributing to, say, you know, just community discussions, or maybe they're following you on social channels and maybe sharing some of your content today. Mm-hmm. But then, you know, they might not be doing any of that yet. Maybe they're just, you know, your most active product users. So, you know, when we looked at how do we, you know, recruit some of these champions, we looked at that, you know, who's using our product the most, who's responding to different programs that we do, whether we do a customer webinar or workshop, who's actually engaging with us and those types of things. And, you know, or people that maybe have just, you know, had a really great interaction with us. So maybe it's someone that came off of a support call and that, you know, and just received, you know, an abundance of help and they're pretty happy about that. And we can, you know, invite them in to be a champion. And then we also look at, you know, what other feedback we're getting from our customer base through things like our regular customer surveys or net promoter score question and invite those people who, you know, indicate that they are advocates through their feedback in those ways and invite them in as well.
Okay.
And then we ask our employees to nominate folks. So we have a process where, you know, our employees are you know, our sales representatives, our customer experience managers who work very closely with our customers, they're all talking to our customers every day. And, you know, they might come off a call and say, wow, this person had such a great story and they were so happy about this project they just completed using our technology. And they would be perfect to invite them into the champion program.
Okay. And do you have to reward people for their involvement in this in a program like this? Or, you know, because sometimes that's what a lot of people kind of get caught up with, because it's you know, do people do it automatically or do you need to reward them as well?
It's I think when we think about rewards, it's really a choice of rewards. So, and I think that's really been key. It doesn't necessarily mean a monetary reward, although that's, you know, so some of the rewards that we have are, you know, people can accumulate points for things like an Amazon gift card or a Starbucks card but quite often, you know, some of those rewards are, hey, you could have a free training, a free online training session just for people in your company.
Right.
And that's something that, you know, we offer. Or it might be, you know, tickets to a local industry event. You know, if we happen to have access to that, we want to sort of give our champion sort of the, you know, the first refusal to get access to those types of things.
Uh-huh.
Or some things might be, hey, you know, a quarterly call with our president. You know, the rewards can be of many types. And we also have things like a badging system within our program. So that's kind of a reward that's not monetary, but it's sort of that reinforcement of, all right, you've sort of achieved this, you know, next level of being a champion. And that's some type of reward as well.
And in your experience, what sort of incentives or rewards generally work kind of best?
Well, that's interesting because we've really, now that we've sort of built our champion program to what we feel is a good critical mass, we're doing more segmentation of our rewards. And so to answer that question of what works the best, it really depends on why people are being a champion in the first place and sort of what, you know, what they hope to get out of it, and really sort of matching those rewards to that. So, for example, you know, there are some people who are big social sharers, and that's kind of what they like to do. And they, you know, will see some, you know, content that our team is sharing out on social channels, and, you know, whether it's a new ebook or a presentation or a white paper, whatever it may be, just an article. And they'll say, and they just like to, you know, reshare that content with their peers if it's, you know, relative to a topic that's relevant to their profession. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, with social shares, you know, maybe they're things like, you know, Amazon cards and that kind of stuff is good for them, and badges, because they sort of like that, you know, achieving the sort of the new levels of, you know, social sharing status and that kind of thing.
That lovely word, gamification.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. That's the word I was looking for. Thank you. And then you have also, you know, another segment of our audience, and they tend to be people that have been customers for a while. So they're not the brand new customers, but they've been using our product for a while. What they have found rewarding is to be able to provide product input and also get rewards like, you know, spend an hour on the phone with our product management team.
Right.
And, you know, so to have that direct access in their case for a more experienced customer is valuable. So we really are trying to match the rewards to the profile of the champion.
Mm-hmm. So, I mean, I guess going back a little bit, one of the great frustrations for many entrepreneurs, business owners, executives, and things is that they struggle with advocacy and referrals and recommendations and all those sort of things. And because I think that the assumption is that, well, if you do something that's great, then people should just talk about it. But why is it? Do you think that people don't automatically speak up? And in many cases, they need encouragement to speak up.
Yeah, maybe, you know, sometimes maybe they don't even realize how powerful that is when they speak up.
Right.
And you know, they don't realize, gee, you know, that could really, you know, be helpful to the company I'm working with and this company that I've invested so much in.
Mm-hmm.
And they perhaps don't realize the value, or maybe, you know, some of it is just a habitual thing. Like even when it comes to social sharing, like, you know, why don't people do more of that? Well, sometimes, you know, you just need a carrot to sort of see the impact of that, or just develop a new habit. And if there's some reward that helps you, you know, do something repeatedly till you realize, gee, I really kind of like doing this.
Well,
and
yeah.
And that has a benefit. It sort of gets people in the habit of, or, you know, just trying it and getting into the habit of it.
Do you think it might be a little bit to do with just sort of something to do with perspective and assuming that sort of understanding what's front of mind? And sometimes, even though we do great stuff, we're not at the front of our customer's mind. And sometimes we need to make sure that we remind them how great we are and ask them to, you know, to help us, because they're not always thinking about us.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah, I think that's very true. And, you know, and I think, you know, the champions or advocates have, you know, they have a very high incentive to do that. So if you look at, say, maybe some of the other audiences that might be, you know, interested in your company, like, say, for example, your social followers, you know, they may or may not be customers or partners or employees, and they may not be very invested in you.
Sure.
So you may have a lot of followers, but, you know, they're not, as I say, they're not thinking of you when you really want to ask them to do something. They may not be there.
Sure.
Then you have, you know, some people who are very influential, who might, maybe they're industry analysts, bloggers, reporters, and, you know, what they say has a lot of weight. But, you know, they also have, you know, their own priorities. And so, again, they may not be there. So I think, you know, champions and advocates have much more of an incentive to help you. And sometimes it just takes that asking to do so.
Do you think also that it might be there might be a little bit where if you invite somebody to become a champion, or part of a champion program, there's an element of social recognition in that, and we all love a bit of sort of, let's, you know, a pat on the back and say a well done and thanks very much and all of those things. And that's just one of our fundamental human needs, I think.
Yes, absolutely. I think that recognition is a big part of it. And, you know, and going along with that, it's just that, you know, people like to connect with other people and get that recognition. So that's enormous.
Excellent. So, Joan, if you were a business, if you were going to give some advice to, you know, an entrepreneur or a business, whether large or small, that wanted to start their own champion program and, say, follow in your footsteps, what would your top tips be?
I think, let me say, there's a few things. So one is, you know, I think it's important, as you point out, you know, where do you find those advocates? So one is really in getting started, think about where are those places that your advocates live and what are they doing? And so identifying those different audiences of potential advocates is important. And then I think next is segmenting them. So recognizing that all those advocates might like to do different things. They might have different interests in interacting with you. So really segmenting them into, you know, looking at their profile, their preferences, their capabilities, and also, you know, what they can and want to do with you. You know, and I think, you know, varying the rewards is also a good tip. So, you know, people respond to different things, and sometimes, you know, they can't respond to certain things. So, you know, if they're in a regulated industry, sure, they can't really accept a monetary reward. But certainly they can, you know, if it's something like getting training for their organization, that's huge, or direct access to, you know, leadership of the company. Those are rewards that they would very much appreciate. So the variety and the rewards is important.
Fantastic.
And then, you know, a few others. I think one is cross incentivizing your champions, and when you look at your different audiences. So, for example, we found our customer champion program became much more effective when we also launched an employee champion program.
Right.
And the way that works is that we incentivize our customer-facing teams to ask our customers to do those things that we're already asking them to do. So, for example, we may put a reward out there and a challenge to our advocates to say, hey, could you provide a testimonial or a press reference? And there's an incentive for doing that, but then there's also an incentive for someone on their account team to go the extra step to, you know, when they're on the phone with them, ask them the question, like, say, hey, would you share that story you just told me in the form of a customer testimonial? So if we give both parties the rewards, the results are magnified.
Excellent. So it's all about joined up thinking.
Yes, absolutely.
Excellent.
You know, when we use, you know, key to really scaling our program, I have to give a lot of credit to our technology platform as well. So, you know, to scale this effectively, technology has been very helpful in doing that. So, for example, you know, some of these things that we were doing with our customers, you know, we have been doing for a long time, and you know, lots of companies, you know, have been doing this for many, many years. We happen to use a technology called Influitive as the platform, and that really helps us scale the whole program, really, to be able to recruit our advocates, corral them, pose challenges to them, provide rewards and fulfillment and recognition and the whole badging system. So the technology has really enabled us to scale.
Excellent. Joan, that's fascinating and really interesting, and hopefully you've provided us with some of our listeners and readers with a few keys to the locked door that is customer advocacy.
Wonderful.
That was a recording of a conversation I had with Joan Babinski recently, and I just wanted to, first of all, thank Joan for her time and her insights, and for sharing us how they built their community of customer champions. This has been the Rare Business Podcast. Thank you.